You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 454 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, coming to you live. I'm actually on the road this week for my day job, so a little bit challenging in terms of the audio quality. Hope you guys sort of were bearing with me earlier on the week with Jared Dubin on the podcast, and hopefully this isn't quite as bad as that, but not my normal setup, so please bear with me for this particular podcast. But the Atlanta Hawks are now off to a start of some sort when it comes to the regular season. They lost their season opener on Wednesday evening by a final score of 126-107 against the New York Knicks. The 19-point margin of victory basically tells the story of how lopsided the game was, but at the same time, the Hawks actually won three out of the four quarters in this game, which isn't everything, obviously, but the second quarter is what we'll spend more time on during the podcast, but it did not go well in the second quarter, to say the least. That's sort of the preamble to the podcast today, and for those of you that might be new listeners to the show, welcome, first of all. But we'll spend some time after every game talking about all the big picture stuff as well as individual performances from this spot. So that's kind of the objective on today's podcast. These will be a little bit shorter, usually just me on the pod, but hopefully you guys will have this in your earphones and your headphones or wherever you like to listen to podcasts on your commutes in the following morning, or if you're night owls late at night here on the East Coast. So the first thing to talk about is just sort of the particulars of the evening. Obviously, this was Trae Young's debut. We'll talk more about him earlier, later on in the podcast. But this game really started off very sloppily on both sides. Actually, the first 10 shots of the game combined for the two teams were misses. Alex Len finally scored at the 9:31 mark of the first quarter after some ugly play. The Hawks actually had a 10-2 run during the, to open the game, to be honest with you. It's one of those things where at that point in time, you probably would have thought that a 19-point loss for the Hawks was not something that was going to be in the cards, to be honest with you. That's just something to file away for later on in the podcast. But a 10-2 run to open the game for the Hawks. The Knicks missed the first nine shots of the game, which is kind of crazy considering the final score. And honestly, at one point, there was a game break in which a Knicks fan made a half-court shot for a big prize, as a lot of teams do, including the Hawks. And it actually came before the Knicks themselves made a field goal. And every single person on Twitter made the same joke about the Knicks fan getting a 10-day contract or something like that, or the fact that he scored before the Knicks did in the from the field. But those jokes kind of made way to a lot of more Hawks jokes, actually, later on in the game. But it was actually a pretty good start for the Hawks. And even with the Knicks kind of rattling off a 12-0 run in that first quarter, Atlanta actually took a 24-23 lead into the second quarter, which is, you know, obviously not too bad. The offenses were pretty bad on both sides. In fact, the Hawks had an 80.1 offensive rating in the first quarter and actually led despite seven turnovers and only five assists in that first quarter. But the defense was okay-ish in the first quarter. The Knicks did them a lot of favors, I will say, in terms of the way that they played in that first quarter. But still, the Hawks held the lead. At that point in time, you would have thought that things were going pretty well. In the second quarter, though, was kind of the big story of the game. A 17-4 run to open the second quarter by the Knicks eventually pushed that lead to 22 points. They scored 36 points in the first 9 minutes of the second quarter and 49 points. Yes, you're hearing me right. 49 points in a quarter. As the Knicks kind of just made everything, and the Hawks had some real issues defensively, obviously, during that time period. Some bad turnovers led to easy buckets for the Knicks, and just, you know, sort of a perfect storm of New York playing very well in that quarter and the Hawks playing very poorly in that quarter. New York shot 19 of 28 from the floor in the second quarter, and on the way to those 49 points, Tim Hardaway Jr. got loose, and he had a fantastic game in the spot. Old friend, he had 31 points on 22 shots, which isn't, you know, super duper efficient, but still quite good, and he was obviously quite good in this game, was the best player offensively for the Knicks in the spot, to be sure. But That was the big story of the game, honestly, as we talked about before. The second quarter was just so lopsided. Offensively, the Hawks weren't terrible in that quarter. They just couldn't get a stop. And by the time, actually pretty hilarious. I mentioned before that the Hawks had a sub 80 defensive rating in the first quarter, which is, you know, very, very, very good. But by the time we got to the half, the Knicks had put up a 123.8 offensive rating, which means they kind of had a legendary quarter. It was actually a franchise record for the Knicks, and the Knicks have been around for a long, long time. Anytime you have a franchise record for the Knicks, something pretty crazy has happened, and that's what took place in that second quarter. The offense for the Hawks was not great. It was a very, very fast pace first half, which allowed the scoring to look decent. You know, the Hawks had 49 points at the half, but they had an 84.3 offensive rating. That's pretty bad, obviously. Also, in that first half, Torian Prince had four turnovers. Trae Young was really shaky in that first half. I will say he played better after halftime. We'll talk about him individually later on. But some of the best players for the Hawks did not play particularly well in that first half, and it was, again, kind of a perfect storm in favor of the Knicks. After that, the Hawks did show some fight, to their credit, in the third quarter. It was a very nice hustle play from Vince Carter, getting a save in the backcourt and coming down and hitting a trail three from about 30 feet that kind of invigorated the team, seemingly. The Hawks had a 23-8 run that also included a 14-2 spurt in the middle of that run to get back within 13, a bunch of threes in a row. And at that point in time, you could have convinced me that the Hawks were going to make this thing a game. But after a timeout, the Knicks came out and scored, I think it was 9 straight, to put it back to 22. And that was kind of the end of that, honestly, in terms of any threat that the Hawks might have. And from there, it was basically all garbage time for about the final, you know, quarter and a half of this game. The Hawks did get, you know, back within less than 20 and obviously finished only down 19, but for the most part, it was a very, very comfortable lead after that one run by the Hawks. Obviously, you know, rotationally, we'll talk about what transpired a little bit. In the first half, the Hawks went with a second five. Obviously, the starters were the starters in this game, and it was the ones that we've talked about already on this podcast, and the ones that we expected. It was Trae Young, Kent Bazemore, Torian Prince, Vince Carter, and Alex Len. The second five was Jeremy Lin, who was not a surprise at all, of course. Tyler Dorsey at the two. They went with DeAndre Bembry at the three. Alex Poitras at the four, which was not a surprise to me, but definitely was a surprise to some. And then they actually went with Miles Plumlee at the backup center spot in the first half, which wasn't a huge surprise to me, I will say, just because that's sort of something that a lot of head coaches will do, is just defer their veterans. Obviously, I think that Amari Spellman is a much better prospect than Miles Plumlee at this point in time, and Plumlee wasn't great at all in this spot, but it wasn't a huge surprise to me that he went with Plumlee in the opener. We did get to see Spellman later on. We'll talk about that later in the podcast, but that was the second five, and really the only 10 guys that played in the first half. They did go to Spellman more in the second half. He actually was got some minutes before the full-blown garbage time set in. He only played 8 minutes, but he came in a spot where they hadn't fully punted on the rotation at that point in time. So he was sort of the 11th guy off the bench in this game. Then they also went to Jaylen Adams and Kevin Huerter both by the time the game was over. So all 13 guys that were dressed played in this game, including all four rookies, if you include Jaylen Adams. So with that said, you know, the Hawks' big picture was not great, obviously, in this game. We'll talk about individuals here in a second, but the offense was ugly. 46% from the floor is just fine, but 24 turnovers, 19 assists is not going to get it done for this Hawks team. Defensively, the numbers aren't as bad as they probably should have been, considering the Knicks just kind of pedaled off in that fourth quarter, but still a 110 offensive rating allowed, a 46% shooting clip, 36% from three, and only 15 turnovers for the Knicks. So nothing that was terribly exciting. You know, you could probably take solace in the fact that the Hawks weren't as bad as, you know, as the scoreboard probably indicates in terms of a big picture thing, if you include all four quarters, but they all count, and the second quarter was as bad as you might imagine that it was in this spot. Before we get into the individual stuff, I do want to take a moment to tell you guys to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already, as well as the entire Locked On Podcast Network. We have NBA, we have NFL, we have colleges, we have baseball podcasts, we have kind of everything that you're looking for. Also in Atlanta, we have Locked On Braves, Locked On Falcons, all kinds of SEC content in the world of the college and college sports. There's everything that you would want going on. And in terms of this podcast, we're here regularly, pretty much every day during the week. And it's one of those things where you can subscribe to the podcast in a number of different ways: Apple Podcast, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, you know, Spotify, all those places that you can listen to podcasts. We should be on all of them, and if we're not, please let me know that so we can get it rectified. But thank you for all of you that already have subscribed to the podcast. But if you have not done that, please go ahead and do it, as well as leaving 5-star feedback, telling your friends, and trying to spread the word about the podcast as the season gets going. So we can move on to the individual portion of the podcast. We'll start with the bench first, because it was kind of a mixed bag in a lot of ways. DeAndre Bembry actually ended up leading the team in minutes off the bench with 23. He had 2 points, four rebounds, four assists, two steals, and two turnovers for Bembry. It looked like he might have tweaked his foot at one point in the fourth quarter, but I ended up closing the game, so I think he was probably fine. I was not on scene, as you can hear, in New York, but it's one of those things where he looked, you know, there were ups and downs. Bembry, I thought, was fine in general. Wasn't like a spot where he was really, really bad at times. There were some ugly moments in terms of his turnovers weren't great, but I thought Bembry was okay on both ends of the floor. Nothing really stood out to me in terms of just his overall impact. He needs shooting around him. That's something that's not new. We talked about that in the preseason, just that he needs shooting to operate offensively. With the ball in his hands, he's definitely more of a distributor and finisher, not someone who's going to be taking a lot of jumpers off the dribble. Did not attempt a three in this game, only four shot attempts, and you know, Bembry was just kind of fine and okay in this spot. Alex Poitras, 4 of 8 from the floor, 21 minutes, 1 of 3 from the three-point line, had 9 points and 2 rebounds. He was minus 21, which is kind of misleading. I actually thought Poitras was pretty good, had a couple of nice plays. In fact, I would argue that he might be the team's best power forward at this moment, obviously with John Collins unavailable to play. I kind of want to almost lean more on Poitras than Vince Carter at times. We'll talk about Vince here in a second, but Poitras does a lot more things defensively, at least he's capable of doing more defensively with his athleticism and his effort level on that end of the floor. There were definitely some not great moments from Poitras, but still, I kind of like his game still, and that hasn't changed based on this performance whatsoever. Elsewhere on the bench, Jeremy Lin and Tyler Dorsey played 14 and 15 minutes respectively. Lin, 8 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 turnovers. I thought he did not play as well here and did not look as crisp here as he did at the end of the preseason, which isn't like a huge indictment. He was playing in a very limited reserve role. Obviously, his big return to Madison Square Garden, I kind of just avoided the Lin sanity storyline coming into this game because everyone else was doing that. It's been a long time. It's been 6 years, basically, since he was Lin sanity and all that fun stuff. But Lin was okay here, just didn't look great in terms of his physicality. I wasn't like he was a big liability either, but just sort of an anonymous performance from Lin, even if he had a couple of nice moments. Dorsey, it wasn't a surprise to me, as I mentioned before, that he was playing over Kevin Huerter in this game. I think he's definitely more of a established option. I think you kind of just know what you're going to get from Tyler Dorsey, for better or worse. 6 points, 3 rebounds, 3 of 8 from the floor, and 0 of 2 from 3. Didn't make his threes in this game, which is kind of going to be the make or break thing for Dorsey. He's going to have to be efficient offensively because of his defensive limitations and all that kind of stuff. But I'm totally fine with him playing a little bit early on in the season, and we'll see how that goes moving forward. Elsewhere on the bench, Amari Spellman, I mentioned before, led the sort of the other guys in terms of the rookies and the fringe players in minutes at 8, but 7 points, 3 rebounds, and a steal and a block. I thought Spellman's defense was better in this game. Granted, it was all garbage time, so that has to be taken with a grain of salt, but I thought he was pretty actively harmful in the preseason. It was a little bit better here. His motor definitely runs hot, which is good. He made a 3, and I thought Spellman looked pretty good based on what I've seen from him before this. It was one of his better performances in the lead-up to the season, which is encouraging, to say the least. And then Jalen Adams and Kevin Huerter, I should say, neither of which were able to score in their 4 and 5 minutes respectively. Huerter didn't have 3 rebounds and was pretty active actually in his limited time, but him being firmly behind Dorsey is probably not the greatest in terms of the way it speaks about the way that Herter's game readiness is at this point in time. Just something to file away for the future. I think Herter's still a better prospect, all that fun stuff, but Dorsey is now apparently ahead of him in the rotation, and that's something that we have to keep in mind. Finally, Miles Plumlee, 9 minutes, 7 points for Plumlee. Did not have a rebound, which is kind of crazy for someone who was in the rotation as a center in 9 minutes, but you know, it's kind of the same thing, different day when it comes to Miles Plumlee. Honestly, I mean, you could probably make the argument maybe that Plumlee is a better player than Spellman at this point in time, but I would like to see Spellman play, even though, I mean, Spellman's not ready necessarily, but right now, without Deadman, without Collins, I would be turning to Spellman for more minutes. There's no reason not to do that. Plumlee, you kind of know what he is at this point in time. There's no mystery there whatsoever. Might as well let Spellman get out there and succeed or fail, and however he plays, there's definitely some value in game reps for Spellman, and I want to see him more than I saw him in this game, only 8 minutes. There's no reason for that at this point in time. With Plumlee on the roster, I get it. He's active and available, but Spellman just needs to play more minutes, especially in a game that was as lopsided as this one ended up being. To the starting lineup in this game, Vince Carter, 24 minutes. 12 points, 2 rebounds. I mentioned before the nice hustle play in the beginning of the third quarter. Carter's defense is a problem. It's something that's not going to be going away this season, I don't think. You know, positionally, he could have some better moments. And actually, he was +7 in this game, which is pretty funny, in a 19-point loss. But, you know, 4 of 9 from the floor, 2 of 6 from three. He was pretty aggressive as a shooter in this game, which kind of surprised me, honestly. I was ready to see a little bit less of that from Vince, but he seemed more assertive in this game. Pierce went back to him early in the rotation in the first quarter when it seemed like the Hawks might be coming unglued a little bit. I think he's going to lean on Carter for some stability at times offensively, just kind of quiet the troops and get those guys ready to go. I thought Carter's offense was just fine. His defense, definitely some problem areas. His athleticism is just not there necessarily. I know he can still dunk on that fun stuff, but Carter isn't going to be a force defensively. But he was fine. If you take the whole package, even if defensively there were some ugly moments in the first half, especially. Alex Lynn, only 21 minutes in this game, did have 4 fouls, 7 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block. He was actually added to the injury report with a lower back strain. He did play in this game, but I wonder how much of his limited time had to do with that. It wasn't like it was that limited with 21 minutes, but with the current rotation of players that we just talked about with Spellman and Plumlee, you want to see more from Lynn than 21 minutes. Obviously, this game, the game script here probably changed things a little bit, but Lynn was just kind of fine and out there, did attempt 2 threes, missed them both, but that's at least a weapon that's going to be translating into the regular season, it appears. The last 3 guys are the best 3 players that were available in this game in terms of actual, full impact. Trae Young, 33 minutes, 5 of 14 from the floor, 1 of 5 from 3, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, did have 14 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 turnovers for Trae in 33 minutes, minus 20, which isn't, super indicative. He played a lot in that second quarter, which is the problem there. I thought Trae was really shaky before halftime and much, much better after halftime. He had a couple nice passes after halftime. It wasn't like he was absolutely terrible. I think you see the shooting line at 5-14. You're going to see some criticism of Young, I'm sure. There were even all the whispers that I was kind of fearing that I would see if the Hawks lost and he didn't play well in this game. That was all happening on Twitter during the game. I did think that Young was pretty bad in the first half. He looked like a rookie for the first time in a while. But after halftime, it was pretty encouraging. He was under control, made some really nice passes, some really nice looks. Took too many floaters in that first half. He's just not that good at that mid-range floater game right now. I'm okay with him working on it, but just too many of those like 8 to 10 foot, contested floaters. It's a really tough shot for him right now. And that's sort of led to his inefficient performance overall. But 1 of 5 from 3, hit a deep one, was taking a lot of aggressive shots, but wasn't just crazy out of control. And this wasn't as bad as the shooting performance would indicate, even if in the first half he did not play it very well. Kent Bazemore, 30 minutes for Baze, 6 of 12 from the floor, 2 of 6 from 3, 14 points, 6 rebounds. I thought he was pretty solid defensively. He had some issues against Tim Hardaway Jr., I will say. Hardaway is a guy who, when he's going, can really kind of get off on almost anybody with the way he can score. That's definitely, that's the number one part of his game. It always kind of has been. And he sort of had his way with Baze in that second quarter at times. If you were to remove that, though, I thought Baze was pretty solid elsewhere not a spot where I'm not sure many people can really slow Hardaway Jr. in that kind of environment, but it is worth definitely noting that Bazemore did get cooked along with a couple of other guys when Hardaway Jr. had it going in that first half. And finally, Taurean Prince had the best stat night of the game, 21 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, did have 6 turnovers, including 4 in the first half, which were not helpful, but 7 of 15 from the floor, 3 of 7 from 3, 4 of 4 from the line. He really had it going in the second quarter, in the second half, and I thought that was very helpful, honestly, because, with the way the Hawks played overall, getting some production from Taurean was very helpful, just because there wasn't too much of that to go around in the grand scheme of things. I will say, Prince had 13 in the first half, but a lot of that was kind of misleading. He had a nice third quarter, which was helpful. Prince wasn't, it's kind of funny. He wasn't as good, I don't think, as the numbers would indicate. 21-6-6, but it looks like he had a great game. I didn't think he was that good, but did have some nice moments offensively. And it's a good reminder that Taurean's going to put up numbers in the system. He's not shy at all. And if he's going to, dish out 6 assists and grab some rebounds and do that kind of stuff, he might be a great fantasy player this year, to be honest. But, Taurean was not terrible. There were some moments in the first half where I thought he was really pressing, really kind of struggling in a big way, but he did settle after that, much like the way that Trae did, and that allowed him to play a little bit better after that. So that's going to probably do it for today's podcast. A little bit shorter, as I mentioned before. It's the opener. I understand all that, but it's there's not too much we can talk about from that fourth quarter. Honestly, it's basically a three-quarter game, and the second quarter was just such an outlier that it's tough to say anything else about that. I will say, just as an overall big picture point, the Hawks are not as bad as they looked here. It's one of those things that seems obvious to me, but then you see Twitter and you see people, assuming that the Hawks are now the worst team in the league by this huge margin, and they're not. I mean, it's just They had a really bad second quarter. They did not play well here. I do think that my point that I've been making for the last couple of weeks about John Collins being the team's most indispensable player is one that looks smarter after this game, because Collins is someone they just absolutely need out there, both because they don't have much in the way of talent behind him at the power forward spot, and also just because he's one of their better players, and they just don't have a ton of depth on this roster in terms of just quality NBA rotation guys right now. You know, they have three guys that I thought were going to be in the rotation coming into the year. Collins, Deadman, and Anderson are still unavailable. And that really kind of shortens things up. I know the Knicks are bad, and it's something I've been saying a lot. I don't think you're going to see a lot of games where Hardaway has 31 points, but you know the Knicks looked better than the Hawks in this game. I mean, I thought that Hawks would be better than the Knicks this year. I still kind of believe that, honestly. If you were to throw Collins on the floor, I think that obviously the Hawks probably wouldn't have won this game. It would have been a little bit more even, but still, it's one of those things where the Knicks played well for the most part, and the Hawks did not, and that's kind of how you get to the 19-point spreads. But way too early to be panicking about anything. It's one game. I know it was as bad as it possibly could have been, honestly. A 19-point loss to a bad Knicks team just does not look good, especially if you didn't watch this game. But the Hawks are not as bad as they were here, and that's something I predicted that I was probably going to say. If they got blown out, I was going to be sure that they were going to be better than that. If they won by 12, I would say that the Hawks probably weren't as good as they looked either. So everything comes back to the middle here in the early part of the season, and just taking this thing one game at a time. You'll get that from me on this podcast. Some take a step back and some big picture stuff, and I will try not to get too high, too low, because that's what fans do, and I understand all that. But the Hawks were not as bad. Hawks are not as bad, I should say, as they were in this game, and that will sort of inject the analysis moving forward. So the Hawks are in action on Friday and on Sunday. Friday against the Memphis Grizzlies, Sunday against the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm going to do one podcast to wrap up both of those games because I am traveling for my day job, so my apologies on that. I would normally have a game recap after most games individually, but this one, because of the travel and all that fun stuff and the accommodations that I'm going to be in, the wrap-up's going to be the two-game variety on Sunday night into Monday. So just as a programming note, stay tuned for all that. Please subscribe, do all that fun stuff. Thank you for listening, as always, and we'll see you guys on Sunday night into Monday.